is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope.
Since we have flesh and blood, Jesus too shared in our humanity, so that by his death we might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people.
When the imperishable has been clothed with the when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
When you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross.
Well, good evening. I might get some house lights up, lads, if that's okay. It's kind of bright on stage and you all look very dark. So I might grab some house lights. It's been an awesome, awesome Easter weekend. And I'm just, as a lead pastor here, I'm just really, really proud of how our church has been serving the death of Jesus, but also his resurrection. I just praise God that we have a local church here that cares about Jesus and is desiring, thank you, and is desiring to make Jesus known. I'm going to pray because I really believe that when the lights are sorted out, we'll open our eyes and it's all going to be good. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this moment, this awesome moment where we get to open your word, come under your word, be inspired and challenged, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would minister to us, that you would speak to us, that you would come within us and that we would experience your love afresh. Lord, would you draw us really close? Lord, I really pray for anybody here tonight that's really skeptical about faith or feels like just heard it all before. Lord, would you show up in surprising ways tonight? Would you, Lord Jesus, give us a fresh revelation of your power and your love and your desire for us to be following after you with not just some of our life, but all of our life. So come to us, Lord Jesus, and speak to us tonight through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're doing an awesome topic tonight, the kingdom triumphed. We're coming to the end of our series on your kingdom come, and we're looking at kingdom triumphed. Can you think of a moment in life where you triumphed, where you won, where you overcame against all odds? Can you think of that moment? Maybe it was a great sporting moment. You scored the winning goal, saved the winning goal, or maybe it was a netball moment or just a sport that you love and you overcame. Maybe it was something a bit more serious. Maybe you have overcame some sort of illness or injury or sickness. Maybe it was an exam. You weren't sure how you're going to go and you actually got a distinction and you surprised yourself. Like, do you remember it? Can you think of a time in life where you triumphed? Where you overcame? Because this weekend is all about Jesus and his triumph. Jesus Christ triumphed over sin. Jesus defeated Satan. He overcame death so that we can know God and so that we can be known by God. For disciples of Jesus, eternal life starts now. This is eternal life. That you would know God and that God would know you. That is eternal life. For disciples of Jesus, eternal life is now. And I think Matt's baptism is an awesome example for us tonight. For Matt, that baptism was an outward expression of the inward change that the Spirit of God has made in his life. The Spirit of God has come to him and he felt the hand of God, the voice of God. He surrendered his life to God and he has been living in eternal life now because he's known by God. And Matt knows God. And death is a mere transition into the full presence of God. Why? Because Jesus triumphed. He overcame sin. He defeated death. And he's putting an end to evil in this world. The Apostle Paul says that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. There is great power in the name of Jesus. And over the last 3 weeks, that's what we've been pushing into. We've been pushing into there is great power in the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said this, I have told you these things that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. There is a verse there. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus has triumphed, and yet opposition remains. Why? Because the kingdom of God is here. We experience the kingdom of God, and yet it's not completed until Jesus comes again, and all things are consummated right in that moment. We live in a now of the kingdom, but not yet completed until Jesus comes again. So Jesus knows that we're going to have trouble. We are going to struggle. How do we struggle? Our own sinful flesh is a big struggle in our life. What's the trouble we face? Well, the world and its pleasures and its temptation. The world wants to lure you out of the kingdom. Our own flesh, this desire to rebel against God, we struggle with that every day. And what we've been looking at is Satan and demons and dark evil forces have schemes to try and take us out of the kingdom. Jesus knows that we'll have trouble, but Jesus said, take heart. Why? Because I've overcome the world. And this is a day where we celebrate that Jesus has triumphed. Can you hear I'm excited? This is the best day of the year. There's no better day or no better moment than what you and I are sharing in right now. The triumph of Jesus Christ. He is alive. Jesus is not always welcomed, though, in the marketplace of ideas and in the secular Australia that we live in. Jesus is not always welcome. I remember being with a good mate of mine, and we were at Gary Lookout. Here's a picture of Gary Lookout. It's Eagle Rock. It was a sunrise, and we were checking out the surf. My friend is a marine biologist, and at this point in our conversation, he was right at the end of his PhD. He was doing like brim numbers, comparing brim numbers in estuaries to oceans. I do not know how he did it. He had a tinny and a dog, and somehow he counted brim. I'm not quite sure how he did it, but here he were, really an atheist and a Christian, looking out at creation. It was an amazing morning, and I'll never forget my friend that just looked in awe and wonder and just said, wow, I can't believe this just all got here. And I was thinking, yeah. So then I said, well, isn't it possible that some sort of intelligent design created all this? And then I got this enormous, like this strong smirk, followed by like the world's biggest scientific shutdown, followed by, and do not Jesus me. Okay, let's go back in the car and check another surf spot then. Jesus is not always welcomed in the marketplace of our nation here. Spiritually speaking, we have become a very spiritual people because we always have been. And yet, Jesus gets very controversial when you start to, I guess, quote some exclusive claims that he makes about himself. Check this out. Jesus said, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is an exclusive statement that Jesus makes that says, if you want to get to the Lord God Almighty who created the universe, you've got to come through me. You've got to come through my death. And today we celebrate his resurrection because he is God. And we believe he has the authority to make that exclusive claim. But just go quote that out in the marketplace and see how people respond to your Jesus then. Push back, shut down. That is an exclusive claim. And yet we live in, I think, this world of contradictions where people actually say, you know, you can't make an exclusive statement like that because, well, there's no absolute truth. Your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth, and there's no absolute truth. But that's a contradiction because you've just made an absolute truth statement by saying there's no absolute truth. We live in an absolute confused marketplace of ideas and information that thinks tolerance is the way forward. You know, Jesus makes a lot of claims that the world pushes back on. And we're going to look at a passage tonight that I think the world pushes back on very sharply. I've been following Jesus now for the best part of 20 years, and I believe that Jesus has completely come to save those whom religion has rejected, to save those whom the world has despised. Jesus has come to save those who have eyes of faith to see that he is the Savior of the world and Lord at the same time. My challenge to you tonight as we get to, I think, a really challenging passage in Matthew chapter 25 is this. Dare to believe that Jesus has triumphed so that you can overcome. I don't know what's going down in your life tonight. We have this inner thought life, inner feelings, inner world that only you know. But guess what? God knows your innermost thoughts. God knows your restless soul. God knows your fear, your struggle, your dreams, your hopes. God knows your inner world better than you know your inner world. And what I have come to experience is that Jesus, he wants to come into your inner world and bring real power to overcome. That's the Jesus that I love. He's a God of great forgiveness, but he's also a God of great justice. And he makes exclusive claims because he is the author of life and he is telling us as the created ones the way it is. Does not the creator have the authority to tell its creation the way it is? But Jesus can radically lift you up if you dare to believe that he is God and can forgive and has the power to make an eternal difference in your life. Here's a true statement. What you believe about eternity will influence the way you live today. What you believe about eternity will influence the way you live today. Jesus gives the most graphic word picture, I think, that both troubles me and really overwhelms me with great joyful expectation, a graphic parable that points to the kingdom triumphed. It's the parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew chapter 25. Because Jesus has triumphed and he's coming again, and Jesus reflects on his triumphant kingdom. This is what Jesus says. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Try and picture this with me. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, Philippians 2 says that Jesus emptied himself of his glory and became human, flesh and bone, still God. He emptied himself of his glory and became one of us. Now, whenever we picture Jesus, all we see is Jesus in the movies or Jesus as a person. But here Jesus is saying, when the Son of Man, talking about himself, when he comes in his glory, his radiance, his power, his splendor, and Jesus isn't coming alone. In Revelation 5, it says that 10,000 times 10,000 angels, Jesus is coming in all his glory with 100 million angels. And he's going to sit on his throne, and he's going to gather all peoples. The dead will rise first, and he's going to gather all peoples, all nations. It doesn't matter how famous you've been. It doesn't matter how rich you are. We're all just people, beautiful image bearers of the living God. And there's going to be a day of accountability, and Jesus is going to separate people on his right and people on his left. He's going to come in all his glory. Right now, there is a veil between heaven and earth. And Sam gave this illustration last week, and I want to reignite this illustration because there is a thin veil right now between heaven and earth. And it's like this thin veil actually has holes in it, and the light of God's kingdom shines through on our earth. Sam made a point last week which really got me thinking all week, that heaven is just as real as earth is to us right now. Heaven is just as real as earth is to us right now. And right now, all of heaven is in worship, and Jesus has triumphed. He's on the right hand of the Father. And when you become a disciple of Jesus, it's like some of the light of heaven shines through into our soul, and it's a power greater than ourselves to overcome because Jesus has overcome. But when Jesus comes in all his glory with 100 million angels, and he sits on his throne, the veil between heaven and earth will be completely torn. And Jesus will come, and he will gather the nations, those on his right and those on his left. Is there a more intense scene in all of Scripture than the opening of Matthew chapter 25 of the kingdom triumphed? You see, what you believe about eternity will influence the way you live today. If you think that that's just a load of rubbish, then you're going to live accordingly. But if you believe that that's really true, then you're going to live in a way that is readied for Jesus to come. It's very, as much as there's right and left, I think it's as sharp as that. What you believe about eternity will influence the way you live today. The kingdom has triumphed. Jesus has triumphed, but there is a great day of accountability. And this is what Jesus says. He says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Can you imagine that moment? Jesus, he's on his throne. Limitless angels. You as his disciple is on the right, and he says to you, come, come into my inheritance that I've prepared for you. Can you imagine that moment? And then Jesus says the craziest thing. This is what he said. He's talking about those as his disciples on his right. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And then the king, Jesus, replied, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it to me. I really want to be clear here that we're not talking about works. We are actually saved by what's called grace. The Bible says, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's a gift from God. It's not by works. We know that when we say, Jesus, I'm sorry, forgive me, I want to follow you, faith and the journey of faith starts right there. Right there on that confession of who you believe Jesus is and your need for forgiveness and your desire to follow him. That's when faith starts. But the Bible's very clear that faith without works is a dead faith. It's a dead faith. And so what Jesus is actually saying here is that when you fed the poor, when you were generous to the stranger, when you helped the sick, when you reached out to the prisoner, you were actually doing it to me. You think about that. When somebody is bullied and you stand up for them, Jesus is saying, you're standing up for me. You're doing that to me. When you see the stranger and you help the stranger out, it's actually like you're doing it to Jesus himself. When you hurt those that are struggling, you are actually helping Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying in this parable. What you did to the least is what you actually did for me. I came across this really interesting story, Ivan Fernandez. On the 2nd of December in 2012, Ivan Fernandez is a Spanish athlete. He's a runner, and he was competing in a cross-country race in Spain. And he basically saw the winner, the race winner, who was a Kenyan by the name of Abel Mutai. And this Kenyan runner stopped 10 meters before the finish line. The whole race, this Kenyan was out in front. He was winning. And he thought he crossed the finishing line, but he stopped like literally 10 meters short. Now, Fernandez saw that he stopped. He could have ran straight past him and was the winner, exploiting Abel's mistake of finishing 10 meters short. But you know what he did instead? He ran up to Abel and communication barrier, all but, he used hand gestures and he pointed to Abel where the finishing line was and pointed him across to finish first, and he finished second. And this is a quote by Fernandez. This is what he said. But even if they told me that winning would have earned me a place in the Spanish team for the European Championships, I wouldn't have done it either. I also think that I have earned more of a name having done what I did than if I had won. And if that isn't very important, because today, the way things are in all circles, in soccer, I loved how he put that first, in soccer, in society, in politics, where it seems anything goes, a gesture of honesty goes down well. What would have you done? You run across that line and finished first? Taken the glory when you really didn't deserve it? I love this picture because it's a picture, I believe, of what Jesus is saying. Disciples of Jesus, stop. Disciples of Jesus, stop and do the right thing. Ethically and also with great acts of mercy and justice. Disciples of Jesus, stop. And when we see somebody that is struggling, we help. If we are in school and somebody doesn't have lunch, if it's okay, we can share our food. If we are in the street and see a stranger struggling, we can meet that struggle with a blanket. If we are in and around somebody that's being bullied, we can stand up for them. Jesus says, what you do to the least is what you do to me. Disciples of Jesus, stop. We do the right thing ethically, and we do the right thing socially with great justice and mercy. And why would we do that? Because of this truth statement, what you believe about eternity will influence the way you live today. If you honestly believe that Jesus is coming back with 100 million angels and there's a great day of accountability, what you've done to the least is how Jesus will measure your life. Because then we come to something I think is really, I find really hard to read. And this is where I think we get a lot of pushback when it comes to the marketplace of ideas in Australia. These are the words of Jesus, not me. Jesus says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. Jesus says, I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And Jesus will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment. But the righteous, that is the disciples of Jesus, to eternal life. Is there a more terrifying passage than God coming in all his glory and saying, away from me? I've read this passage so many times over the last 20 years, but I can't stop thinking this week, what in the world would it actually feel like for the Son of Man to say, I was hungry and you never fed me. Away from me. I think it's really stark. We have one shot to get this right and then eternity. I want to ask you, what are you going to do with your life? Seriously, from this moment on, tonight, what are you going to do with your life from this moment on? Are you just going to be looking to finish first in life, regardless of whether it's wrong or right? Are you just going to leave from here and just ignore that Jesus is coming back? What you believe about eternity will influence the way you live your life. And we don't live in fear as disciples of Jesus. We live with great purpose. Purpose to love. Purpose to serve. When you see that homeless person next, are you going to buy them a cup of soup in winter? Are you going to take off your jumper because they look colder than you and say, here, have my jumper? Because it's as if you're giving Jesus a jumper. And on that great day of accountability, Jesus will see that act. But he'll also see when you just ignore that homeless person and walk on as if they're not even there. Repent, and you will be forgiven. Go out and go back and give that person a jumper. God is gracious and forgiving, but he's also strong, and he's a just God. J.C. Ryles is an English evangelical bishop. He was the first bishop of Liverpool. Couldn't go past that. Love Liverpool. He's the first bishop of Liverpool. And this is what J.C. Ryles says. The two rarest things in the world are a young man or woman not filled with pride and an old one that isn't filled with regret. Sit in that for a moment. Two of the rarest things in the world. A young person not filled with pride and an old one that doesn't have regret. If you're young, don't think, I'll just do it my way. And let's not grow old with regret. Share your jumper with those that are cold on the streets. You know the rising statistic of homelessness is women and children through domestic violence. Winter's coming. You wouldn't believe it, but winter's coming. What are we doing? What are you going to do with your life? The thing I think that bugs me most about this parable that Jesus gives is how seriously do we take it? How seriously do we take it? Last story, I was at Glory Jean's. I had this passage in my mind. I finished a mountain bike ride and I was just having a coffee. And three elderly women, I won't say their age because you might throw like fruit at me. So I'd say three grandmothers, right, were having a chat. They weren't that old, mature. Let's call them mature. Having a chat. And I was just reading the paper, having a coffee, and I just looked up for some random reason, and this white sedan car passed by a girl about my age, very young, and she wound down the window. She extended her finger, then she extended her rude finger and gave the bird to these three women. I'm like, what just happened? What's going on? This one woman there just put her head in her hands like this. And this other lady next to her said, did you see that? And this lady said, that's my daughter. I just felt like my heart drop. And the third lady said, what do you mean that's your daughter? She said, you know, if I actually rang the police right now, she doesn't have a license and she'd go straight back to jail where she just came from. She then started, because, I mean, I'm just there, I'm listening, I can't help it. And she says, you know, I've got custody of her daughter and we've actually not just got locks on our front doors, of course, but I've got a big lock on my bedroom. And we huddle in my bedroom every night, terrified that she's going to come back into the house. She's addicted to drugs. I was just sitting there thinking, what do we do about that, church? Everything inside of me just wanted to go and sit alongside her, just put my arm around her and say, can I pray for you? Everything inside of me wants to jump in the front seat of that car, or maybe if it's in park, and say, there's more to life than this. Jesus says, you know, what you do to the least is what you actually do for me. How seriously do we take this passage? I want to encourage you tonight to join with me to say, you know what? I'm going to put 2 feet into the kingdom of God, and I'm just going to give my life to God again. You may have wandered away. Come back. You may have never actually turned to Jesus. Turn to Him. You may be following Jesus for quite some time and your heart has become really hard. Really hard. And there's not a lot of compassion and mercy for others. I want to encourage you. It's time to pray. Call on the name of the Lord that He would give His heart into your heart to see the world as He sees it. I'd love to invite you into this moment. And you know what? I too am going to pray because I'm thinking in my own life, like, what am I doing with my life? Because I do believe that Jesus is coming again. And I want to hear those words, Paul, come. Come into my inheritance. I don't want to hear away from me. That's where all our lives are heading, to a great day of accountability. Come to Him, and He will give you great power. I want to pray and just lead us in a word of prayer. And if you just want to reach out for Jesus tonight, just pray with me. If you want to just say, you know, I'm all in. I want to just follow you, Jesus. I just encourage you to pray with me. Just pray this after me. God knows your heart. Jesus, I want to reach out for you tonight. I don't want to live life my way. And I don't want to grow old with regret. Jesus, forgive me for my sin. I want to follow you. Put your heart in my heart. Help me to love others. Jesus, I need you. Our Father, I just pray for anybody that's prayed that tonight, Lord. That's the prayer of my heart. Every day, Jesus, I just want to turn to you and say, I need you. Help me to love as you love. Lord, I just pray that right now that you would come upon us with a fresh fire and a fresh power and a new joy of our forgiveness. And Lord, I pray that you would send us out here as warriors for justice and mercy and love. Would from this service, Lord Jesus, just flow waves and waves of love for those that are hurting and depressed and lonely and marginal and struggling. Would you send us, Lord Jesus, that we would go and love? Because we heard tonight, Lord, that when we love somebody struggling, it's like we're just loving you. So Lord, send us tonight. We don't go in fear or guilt, but Lord, we want to go in the power of your name because you have triumphed and we can overcome. In Jesus' name, amen.